In the past week, Miami, Austin, and Washington, D.C., to name a few, began clearing out some of the last remaining Occupy Wall Street encampments. In many places, protesters insist their efforts will continue, but in different, less visible ways. NPR's Tovia Smith has this update from Boston, where Occupy is turning to new tools and tactics.
When Occupy Boston was forced out of their tents in December, they fell out of the headlines, but not totally out of sight.
I knew they'd be back in the spring. I didn't think it'd be this soon.
Even police were surprised when in the 30-degree February cold, some 200 protesters marched downtown in scuba gear to highlight underwater mortgages. One rather zoftig underwater homeowner even stripped down to a swimsuit. The stunt was classic Occupy theater.
They put it as like, we came back, but we've always been here, you know, we've never left.
But Occupy Boston has evolved, says protester David Lamosa. It was hard when he and the others were evicted from their encampment, but as activist Jason Stefani puts it, that may have been the best thing that ever happened to him.
Once folks got out of the tedium, you know, of needing to protect that space and maintain that space and the things that you need to run a small city, you know, keeping people fed, keeping it sanitized, people were able to focus on broader issues.
They splintered into dozens of issue groups and many joined forces with existing community organizations.
And now you're seeing an infusion of new blood, of new energy into existing community groups who have been fighting for these economic issues for decades, now have new boots on the ground, and it's only strengthening the movement overall.
Are y'all ready to march?
Just ask Antonio Ennis, a veteran organizer for the housing group City Life, who was suddenly blessed with a mob of very colorful and creative volunteers.
You know, when you got mass numbers and when you got a march that has this much theater with it, you force people to listen.
What Occupy Boston gets by joining up with other groups is direction and focus.
Early on, Occupy was looked at as, you know, just a bunch of people. They didn't know what they wanted. So they're hooking up now with bona fide agencies that know what they want, that know what they're doing, and know how to organize and get legislation passed. So that now is just going to solidify us, solidify them.
One other way Occupy Boston has evolved, it makes sense that this group that's all about giving voice to the 99%...
Hi, Mom! I'm on TV!
...has now begun broadcasting its message through public access television.
Is my forehead shining? Do I need powder?
No, I see. Okay.
OBTV's amateur hosts and camera crews say they're using interviews with activists and academics to keep challenging the 1% in ways the mainstream media doesn't.
A nationally chartered bank is able to charge any interest rate whatsoever.
So they could charge like 30%?
Actually, they do charge 30%.
Occupy Boston has little doubt they're being heard. City Councilor Felix Arroyo agrees. For example, he says his city banking reform bill was dismissed as radical a year ago, but now it's loaded with co-sponsors.
The idea is the same. It hasn't changed. What I believe is that the talking points, the rhetoric, has seeped into the national discussion in such a way that not only do policymakers listen to it more, but the conversation became more mainstream.
Occupy Boston says it'll continue to push the conversation from out in the streets and inside their studios, where it happens to be much warmer in February. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.